Have your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of Luke chapter 17. That's where we're going to start tonight. Luke chapter 17. Welcome everyone here as we always do, and thankful that you braved the cold. Not many people have to walk as far as we do, but I'm glad that you made the efforts tonight to be with us. Luke chapter 17 is where we're going to start. We're going to focus our efforts on verses 5 and following tonight. We may set the context, and different writers have different opinions on whether verses 5 through 10 stand alone by themselves or whether they are dependent on verses 1 through 4. We're going to take some effort tonight and just focus on verses 5 and following tonight. It may be that the question or the request that the disciples make of Jesus depends on the first four verses and based on a conversation that may have happened, or it may be that Luke has just included this paragraph here in the place which follows the previous paragraph. Tonight, we're going to spend our efforts here thinking about the request that the disciples make to Jesus, followed by the interesting and maybe even curious response that Jesus gives to the disciples, in which they simply turn and they say and request to the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." In verse 6, "And the Lord answered, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? Will he rather not say to the servant, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him?' Jesus says, 'No, I think not. So likewise, when you've done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done only what was our duty to do.'" Increase our faith, Lord. Very simple, seemingly genuine request that the disciples make to Jesus. Maybe it depends on the things that Jesus had said just previous. Maybe they feel somewhat ashamed, as Jesus talked about making sure to not cause someone else to stumble, or making sure that we understand what it means to forgive when someone harms our faith or hurts us. But whatever the context, the disciples have this seemingly genuine request: Lord, increase our faith. Do something that will cause our faith to grow. And it's interesting that they make the request to Jesus that he might perform some action, or that the emphasis is placed on what you can do. Increase our faith. Jesus handles this request in a very interesting way. I don't think that it would be, and I don't mean to imply that it's something that would be, that would not be a good request, because all of us maybe can and should ask for our faith to be increased. But it's just a rather curious way that Jesus handles their request. If you notice, when the disciples make the request to increase our faith, Jesus responds by completely downplaying the fact that they want the quantity of their faith to increase. Notice what he says in verse 6 again. He doesn't say, okay, here's what you do. Here's what you need to do if your faith wants to grow, or here's something I can do to make your faith grow. Instead, Jesus addresses the sort of lack of concern that we maybe ought to have with the quantity of faith. Notice what he says. If your faith is a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He doesn't address anything that the disciples maybe ask for, at least directly. Instead, he doesn't say, here's how you get more faith. He tells a little story that we've certainly heard in other places throughout our New Testament, and likely the disciples had probably heard something very similar, because Jesus uses the same analogy over and over again. Instead of saying, here's what you need to do for your faith to increase, he simply says, well, even if your faith is as tiny as the mustard seed, even that small of a faith has unbelievable power. Do you see the difference between saying, here's what you do for your faith to grow, but instead he says, let's not worry about how big or small the faith is, because you have to realize that even the smallest faith that we would think of as being the tiniest of all, not through the person who possesses the faith, but Jesus completely deflects the quantity of faith requests and says, why don't we think about the one in whom you have the faith? By saying, let's not worry about how tiny or how much your faith needs to increase, but rather, let's think about even how small a faith can accomplish great things. He ignores their request for their faith to be grown, and instead he turns attention to God and wants us to realize, or wants the disciples to realize, what he is able to do through even a faith that we would consider small. And so immediately sort of dismisses that sort of thing. It's not that growing faith isn't important, and it's not that he tries to dismiss it. It's not that he thinks it's not a valid request. There are all kinds of places throughout our New Testaments in which we're told to add to our faith, virtue and knowledge, etc., etc., from 2 Peter 1. There's all kinds of places in which we are encouraged to mature so that our faith can go from that of a baby or an infant to that to be mature, to go away from milk and come to solid food. All of these things imply that increase in faith is a good thing and that we ought to be willing to do the things that are required to help our faith grow. But in this particular instance, Jesus is trying to get them to see that the concern with how much or how little faith a person has is not the most important thing, but rather the one in whom the faith resides. And Jesus said, God can take something even so small and make something great out of it. Which, interestingly enough, does exactly what the disciples ask, if you think about it, right? Because he says, don't worry about how much faith you have. Even if your faith is really tiny, God can do great things for it or with it. If you hear someone say that and you hear the Lord say, even if your faith is tiny, you can do great things, is that not strengthening to a person's faith? And so he does exactly what the disciples ask, although not maybe in the way that they had requested. And so he encourages them that God can do mighty things even with a small faith. But then he does another interesting thing, and he tells another story from verse 7 and following, in which he not only turns attention away from the quantity of faith and to God, but now in the second little story, he turns attention to the work of the people of faith. He turns attention not to how much or how little faith they have, but turns attention to the work that the people who have faith are to be involved in. By saying, which one of you having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? Will he not rather say, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and then afterward you'll be able to eat and drink? Does the master thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you've done all those things which you're commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. In one sense, Jesus does the same thing that he did in the first little story. He does the same thing he did a minute ago by reminding them that the quantity of their faith is not really what is most important at this point. It's not really the issue here, but instead, by thinking about it that way, there's never really a time, and this little story reminds us, there's never really a time that God's people will be able to say, my faith is strong enough here, okay, God, I've done all this, now I deserve, you know, whatever. Or there's never a time in which we can say, God, don't you owe me a thank you for all of my work now? But instead, Jesus says, let's not worry about how great or how little a person's faith is. Your faith can be, God can do wonderful things with it, however great or small it is. But let's think about your relationship to the Master. And let's think about not just your relationship to Him, but let's think about the work that you do for the Master. And He turns the attention simply to what the people do and what his servants are to be doing, and that is working in his service, simply doing the things for the kingdom of God, simply doing the things that may increase the kingdom of God and that are simply our what Jesus calls the duties of a servant. By saying, when the servant goes out to the field and he does all of that work, when he comes in, the master doesn't praise him and say, come on in, you've had a long day, work, sit down here and I'll serve you. That's not the nature of a master and a servant. But instead, Jesus says, when the servant comes in, the master says, okay, now I need to have my supper so you can do your duties and serve me supper. And then when all of that work is done, then you can receive what is due you to sit down and you can eat. And never in the instance does the servant receive praise from the master, and never does the servant feel like he deserves anything. But instead, Jesus says, the servant comes in and he does these things because the master has asked them to be done. And then nothing happens after that because it's just simply what he's been asked to do. It's just the duty of a servant. And it's interesting that Jesus tells, and maybe even a little curious, that Jesus tells this story when the disciples say, we want our faith to increase. Increase our faith. And the Lord says, let's not worry about how great or how little. Let's worry about the things that you can do for the master. And let's let the master deal with the faith stuff. You worry about the things that you can be concerned with, like doing what the master has asked, by doing duties. And let's let the master deal with the other. Not surprisingly, as in the first place, what happens to the people of God when they work for the kingdom of God? Does faith not increase when people work for the master? Of course it does. And so at the outset, it seems like a really strange answer for Jesus to give, in which he doesn't actually say directly, here's what you do for your faith to increase. Here's a list of things, or here's what I can do to cause your faith to grow. He doesn't perform a miracle or do anything great to have them say, wow, my faith is stronger. He simply says, God can do wonderful things even with small faith. So let's just think about what you can do, and that's work for the master. It reminds me of the passage in the book of 1 Corinthians, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you can turn there, we'll read just a little bit, that you are familiar with, that is mentioned in our little article in the front of the bulletin that the elders have given to us today, in which Paul is dealing with some people who are getting caught up in things that maybe are not as important. Well, we should say are directly not as important. They are getting caught up in dealing with what Paul says is concerning human things. He says, you are only concerned about things that are carnal or fleshly or human or worldly, whatever it is. He says, I, brethren, verse 1, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as only to fleshly people, as babes in Christ or as infants. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, because until now you were not able to bear it or receive it. And even now you're still not able. You're still fleshly. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not concerned with worldly things and behaving like only mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another one says, I am of Apollos, are you not being worldly? Who then is Paul, verse 5, and who is Apollos? Are we not only ministers through whom you've believed, as the Lord has given to each one of you? I planted, Apollos watered, but it is God who causes increase. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, but God who gives the increase. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive reward according to his own labor. But we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. It reminds me of Jesus' way of dealing with the request by saying, let's not worry about these things that you are wanting to concern yourself with. Let's not worry about how great or how small. Let's turn our attention to the one in whom you have faith, and let's turn our attention to the work that needs to be done, and let's let the Lord handle, in Paul's words, the increase. Paul says, you're worrying about whether you followed me or whether you followed Apollos or whether I taught you or he taught you. You're just dealing with worldly things. All we have done, Paul said, is plant and water and work and serve and love and care. And through our efforts, we are nothing. In the words of Jesus, we've only done what was our duty to do. Instead, Paul does the same thing Jesus does by saying, you concern yourself with the work that's been asked and allow God to supply the increase. Allow Him to deal with these things. Plant, water, let the Lord deal with the increase. Let's sing a song and then we'll finish what we have to say today.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy Thine. May Thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As Thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to Thee, pure, warm, and changeless, be a living fire. When life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be Thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from Thee aside.
So, in the next couple months, what we'd like to do is, well, we'll say for tonight, for the rest of what we've got to say for the last couple minutes here, you're probably familiar with, oftentimes in the front of the bulletin, most of the time Bill and sometimes myself, sometimes we'll have a little article on the front of the bulletin which simply is titled About Our Work. Essentially, what we're going to do in the context of what we have just talked about is talk about our work and talk about a couple things and a few things that are upcoming that we might think about in terms of what we have just said. To not be concerned with these lists of things that are opportunities for us because we want our faith to grow, although if you participate in them, all your faith will increase and grow. But rather to think about the things that are in your bulletin and that are going to be listed here tonight and things that you'll hear about and things that you'll talk about with our friends and our brothers and sisters and think about them in terms of the fact that here are some things, some opportunities for me to do the duty that has been asked of me as a servant and through doing, allow the Master to deal with the increase of my faith and to deal with the increase of the faith of my family, and to deal with the increase of the faith of my church family, and to deal with the increase of our body, of our congregation, of the kingdom of God which meets here. And so there are opportunities for me to think about how my faith can increase by the ways that I can serve and participate and love and care and reach out, and as we've sung just a few minutes ago, to either just a word or a song as I travel along. So not just limited to what we've got here. But just a few things for you to think about. A couple weeks ago, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, Bill has mentioned from the pulpit the efforts that are going to be made through Bill and through James Simons to try to to revive a little bit of all of the very special and wonderful effort that Dennis has put in for many years through what was called the Golden Ages Group. And through all of the stuff that, that Dennis has done, and through all of the encouragement and card writing and visits and all of those things that were done through that group, because in the last several months, because of Dennis's retirement, has been a little bit, we haven't made a sufficient effort or that's a concerted effort to make sure that those things continue as a body. Many of you have been continued doing that, and God bless you for your efforts in what you have done. But in the coming weeks and months, there are going to be some opportunities for you to, as a group, not just as individuals, but be able to be together again and be able to continue those ministries that you have done and to continue to be able to bless so many lives that you have been able to do. And we pray that as you go through with this effort and as there are more details that come about, that you will take the time to see yourself as a servant in the kingdom through that way, that sometimes may seem small and that maybe you might think are insignificant, but if you've ever been at home sick and received a card from someone who thinks about you, you know what it means and you know how much it means to you. And so we encourage you that as time goes along in these next few weeks and months, take some effort and make some effort to see yourself as fulfilling a duty and doing the work that we're able to provide you that so many have been carrying on, but we'll do as a group from here on out. So watch for details on the things that are coming up. There's also another opportunity that you've got in front of you that all of us have, and that we get to say about every year about this time, and that is on the table in the foyer are little pieces of paper that have the first 3 months of the Bible reading schedule that we have provided and that we've tried to do together every year for however many years it's been going on here, well before I was here. But you've got an opportunity to be able to have your faith increased by simply doing the things that doing the work of the kingdom, by reading and by studying and by challenging yourself and by being humbled and by being challenged through the things that we will read. Developing a habit, and as we say every year, making the time to do it. Not trying to find the time, because if we try to find the time as we go along our days, if your days are anything like mine, I don't magically have an hour's worth of time just appear during the day. That doesn't happen in my life, and I'm pretty sure that it doesn't happen in yours as well. And so it requires that we make a concerted effort and be able to say, I want to do this. I'm going to make the time in my day. I'm going to plan the time in my day. I'm going to say it's going to be for these 15 minutes today. I am going to make that time to read my Bible today. And to make it a habit of doing this every day. When we did this in West Virginia, when I lived in West Virginia, we always did a Bible reading program as well. And one of my former elders called me this week to chat for a few minutes. And it warms my heart because he calls me at the same time that he used to call me all the time when I worked there, right after he'd finished his Bible reading, sitting in his chair. Because while we were there, we worked together on making the time, and his time is about 10 o'clock in the morning, where he would sit down in his recliner and do his Bible reading. And now, 3.5 years later since we've been gone, he finished his Bible reading and called me, just like he used to do. Because it's been that way now for 8 or 9 years, because he decided this is the time I'm going to do it, and does it every day at that time. It's encouraging to me that it can be done. Now this year, what we have done is given a selected a reading plan that's a little different than what we have in the past. Someone called me this week and said, I really like this plan. It's a little more manageable than maybe it has been in the past. And that's probably true, because it's not 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 chapters. But rather, it's always a chapter or less, sometimes 10, 12, sometimes 20 or 25 verses each day. And it's not a plan which starts in Genesis and goes through to the end of the Bible. And it's not a plan which is even going to cover the entire Bible. It covers, I believe, if memory serves me right, I didn't write it down, we'll read, I think, 21 books in their entirety, if I remember right. and maybe we'll utilize 57 or 58 of them, if I remember right. In other words, each passage is just an individual by itself, selected for you to be able to find a devotional thought for the day. It's convenient because each day does not depend upon the other day. And so you've got 20 or so verses every day which don't depend on the former day. So you can't say, and we can't say together as a group, well, I got behind, and so there's no sense in me starting, because you could start today. If you haven't started yet this year, pick one up on your way out and start today. I haven't read today, so I don't know what it is. So I can't tell you that it'll be good, but I'm pretty sure it will. Just letting you know. Make some time today to pick one up and start this year and say, I'm going to make the time every day and read this short little selection of Scripture to challenge me or to humble me or to make me think or to inspire me or to cause me to have something to meditate on. Because they're shorter, even more so than last year, we can say with enthusiasm, you can do it, and so can I, and we can all do it. Bill and I were 2 days behind on Friday, if I remember right. I asked him about it, and he said, I don't know, I'm 2 days behind. And I said, well, then I am too. So we're in, but we made it up, okay? So it doesn't take long to make it up. Make the time this year to pick up a Bible reading and go along. You can do it. They're short. It's only a few minutes, and it is worth the effort to be able to do it. And your faith will increase. We can promise that. So we've got those two things. There's something else that I might say I'm not going to do. I forgot. I read this week. You'll remember, you probably know the name James A. Harding. Is of course the namesake for Harding University and for many other things around the country. Great gospel preacher for all of his years. Interesting fellow. I'm not going to do what Brother Harding used to do when he would travel. I read this week would travel from and do his itinerant preaching and hold meetings and things. He would always carry a stack of commitment cards in which he would distribute to the saints wherever he was meeting and would ask them to sign the pledge card, not with money, but with their name, with the very simple checkbox, I will read my Bible every day this year. I won't do that to you, but maybe in your own mind you can make that pledge or commitment that I will read my Bible every day this year. Something else to think about that's coming up in just a few weeks, on February 5th through February 7th, we have Brother Lonnie Jones, who's coming here to speak for us for a weekend. It's been in the bulletin several weeks. I hope you've marked your calendar for it. I hope that you are making plans to be here both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Your faith will increase if we are here, and the Lord will allow your faith to grow. We're going to have sessions when Lonnie is here both Friday, most all day on Saturday, starting with, and we don't know all of the times for sure, but we'll have a session with the elders first thing in the morning. We'll have sessions with our young families, probably possibly with those above young families up through the golden ages, as with our young people. And then we'll have a session tonight on Saturday night here with everyone, and again on Sunday for class and for worship. The reason why he is coming here is because the elders have seen it a need to be able to build a sense of fellowship among not just our individual groups and not just the ways that we have sectioned ourselves off for many good reasons and many good ways, and so it's not a knock on those things, but as a way to see the way that we do ministry as a body, to help us to see that the efforts that we have working together can be very beneficial and can accomplish great things through the Lord's power. Lonnie Jones is from Huntsville, Alabama, and he works for the church there. His title at the church in Huntsville, Alabama, is the intergenerational minister, which means his job is to mix the young people and the old people and help those two groups of people work together so that the church can do ministry and so that great things can be accomplished. And so his job is to help make sure that we don't just feel comfortable in our own spot, but that we see the value of working together as a family. And he calls it maybe family-based ministry or something like that. What we intend to do is to have Lonnie, and the reason why we're inviting him is he works in intergenerational ministry. He's worked in youth ministry for over 30 years, or has. He no longer does that. Worked in youth ministry for about 30 years. He's has a master's degree in psychology and counseling, and so he has his own practice and where he deals with and sees patients all week in a practice. He also is the the chaplain, local chaplain for the local SWAT team. And so he deals with sort of an interesting bunch of people. He runs ropes courses, both high and low, and helping people develop teamwork and working together and all kind of different things. He's just a really interesting guy, but has a lot of experience in what it means to help people see the work of God, to see the need for people to work together for the work of God, and helping congregations be able to do that, no matter what age we are, but for all of us to be able to see our place in the ministry and for the local congregation. And so he will be here, and I hope that you'll make time, and the elders have asked me to talk about it tonight, to make sure that there is time for you to be here on Friday and to be here on Saturday when the schedule comes out for you to be able to be here. We'll be able to watch some of the kids and make some time so the kids can have a good time while you get to sit through a session. But make some time February 5th through the 7th to come as we can work together for ministry. There's also coming up something for you to think about, not a lot of detail right now, but it's one you're familiar with. On February 14th, we will host the annual kickoff Area-Wide Youth Night here. We are the ones who always start the year. We like to try to get it off to a good start. You, as people who are members of the congregation, we would love for you to be here. This is not the time for you to leave and go somewhere else or just stay home. This is, we want you to be here to experience and to be here as support for our young people during this time. Please come Sunday night, February the 14th. Some of you may provide, we'll have to provide food for about 300 people. So if you want to be able to help with that and serve in that way, we'd love to have you. If you want to just be here to encourage and stand out in the hall and greet, come in here and Bill will tell you one of the greatest things about being with young people in his situation, particularly at camp, is always the singing, right? 300 young people singing some of these beautiful songs will warm your heart. Make time to be here that night. Don't take the Sunday night off. Come and be with us. If you're a young person, this is your chance and your time to be able to participate in this and be able to encourage the young people that are going to be coming. We always get to receive by going and traveling and run around. This is the time for you to serve. This is the time for you to be part of our ministry and see the value that you have to this, to the work of the congregation. So think about Area-Wide Youth Night coming up on the 14th. One more that we talk about all the time, can't do this and not talk about LTC, because it gives two different ways in which we might provide efforts for the kingdom. The Lord will increase your faith if you, as older people and adults, make the effort to watch and encourage, possibly even coach, to help these young people learn what it means to be a leader for the kingdom. For those of you who are coaches, for those of you who stay and watch the presentation every year before we go or after we get back, one or the other, all of those things, all of you who have participated, you know what an encouragement it is to watch these young people grow. May we offer you the encouragement to be that, to be the people who are here to witness it and to be thankful and be part of that and take advantage of that opportunity for the Lord to increase your faith. On the other side, what it's really about is helping you young people learn what it means to be a leader in the kingdom. And this is where it comes, the most important part of this program is to help you young people see that you have a place in God's family. All of you little ones and all of you not so little ones anymore, some of you are still little but not so little ones, right? All of you folks in this place who are not quite as old as some of those who are losing it or having gray hair above, right? You all have a place in this body, all of you. Every one of you has a situation where you can contribute to what the kingdom of God does here and how it functions here. LTC is a great way for you to show that, and it's a great way for you to show your value to the kingdom to all the people who don't get to see you very often and you don't get to know very well. All of these are just a few. These are just 5 things for us that are upcoming in the next 2 months that are beginning now and going through. On top of this, like we've said just a minute ago, right? Oh, the things we may do, you and I, right? Oh, the love we might show or give if we try. Just a word or a song as we tarry along, right? All of those things, on top of just a few things here, are opportunities for us to do what the disciples have asked. Increase our faith. And the Lord says, let's not think about how great or little our faith is. Let's focus on the Creator, the one in whom you have faith. Let's focus on the work that you can do Let's focus on the opportunities that we have, and let's leave the increase of our faith and the increase of our faith of our family and the increase of the faith of our congregation and the growth of our body here as we meet. Let's allow that increase to be the Lord's business as we simply desire to do His work. Let's be the servants that Jesus wants us to be, and let's be thankful and say, we're just servants. We've only done what was our duty. We encourage you to participate in these things and prayerfully think about it and take part in it. As we close like we always do, we pray and we hope that everyone here is functioning every day with the faith in the Creator. But if we can help you to either renew that faith or to express that faith for the first time, we'd love to be able to do it. Let's stand and sing. If you have a need, would you let us know and come to the front?